Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chad, and I am Laurie Lawson, and I have the best co-host in the world, who is the amazing...
Thanks, Laurie. That's Bernie here from the Catskill Mountains.
Okay, yes, and I'm calling from New York City, and happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chad. At Coach Chat, we think if you change your perspective, you can change your whole life. We developed this show for coaches and those interested in one of the fastest-growing professions in the world today. We hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and business. And today we have, I'm going to call him Mr. ICF. Ever since I've been in ICF, I've known this guy, and he's helped out with everything. Don Whittle. Don Whittle, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Laurie. Grateful to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, we're happy you're here. Let me tell you a little bit about Don. For the past 15 years, he has been the director of membership, which is just, he must be doing something right, because ICF has grown from 13,000 members to its current 54,000 members during his tenure. What he does is he kind of grows the membership. He gets everybody engaged, and then he makes you stay. But you want to stay, so that's a good thing. He also has over 17 years of nonprofit experience from the Olympic sport world, which is just something I just found out. Most notably, he served as manager of athlete support and international relations at U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee in Colorado Springs. So that's a bunch of experience, and we're going to just get ready and ask him all about it. Bernie, you want to take the first question to Mr. ICF?
Sure. Before the call began, we were talking about how we've known each other, I guess, for about 15 years, which is a heck of a long time, I must say, and Don was our first contact, or my first contact, at least, with the organization when I was president of the New York City chapter. So it's always fun to catch up, and we have lots of that to do. So, Don, you're responsible for membership experience, and I think my first question for people who want to know is, what does that exactly encompass?
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. Appreciate it, and hi, everybody. Membership experience is really what the ICF is offering you in terms of experience with other coaches and the ability to network with other coaches and join communities that we have. Most notably, we have 140 chapters located in 60 countries, rather, worldwide, and that's really our focal point where we try to direct new members to attend and participate and take part in professional development and things of that nature. And then, of course, here at Global, we're always trying to move people toward more experiences. We have a number of virtual communities of practice that are in all different niches of coaching. As well as we have events, and the last 2 years obviously have been primarily online events delivered by different platforms. And those are really the ways we try to connect our members as a community, if you will, to get that unique, memorable experience that will stay with them.
Mm-hmm. What are the benefits of being an ICF member?
Well, I'd like to think probably no larger benefit than getting to know me. I'm kidding.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
Well, one of the things I try is to reach out, and I do reach out to new members as much as I can, and it's an ongoing difficult proposition, but well worth it because I've become friends with Laurie and Bernie, through that whole process. So our benefits are primarily, we have a world-class credentialing program with three different levels of credentials that are recognized on a global basis. And we have, as I said, a number of online events, and hopefully we're going to go back to in-person events, and we have a biannual conference called Converge, where we meet for a few days and cover a lot of great topics that are coaching-related and thought leadership-related, and it's just a great chance to go and network. And we're really vested in the whole membership experience, obviously, through what I'd referenced before, the chapters and that way of communicating. And all these are member benefits that we provide to members to really feel like they're part of a global community and belong to something much, much larger.
Nice.
Dawn, there are other organizations out there. I mean, EMCC, I think, still exists. Well, what sets ICF apart from some of the other, you know, global or coaching organizations?
I think that's a great question, Bernie. I think that we stand apart because it's really the whole the number of members, the number of and I didn't mention, so 54,000 members, but 40,000-plus credential holders now worldwide. So it's a really big community, and some of the credential holders are obviously members, but it's a very, very large community of coaches that exist around the world. And I think that we do so much. So what we do is we try to set our standards to be the highest in the coaching industry with code of ethics, and our core competencies have just changed recently, just slightly, so everyone doesn't panic. But I think that's a real, and we do have a number of other stakeholders. We have a coaching education group now that basically handles all the accreditation of new training programs, and I think there's hundreds of those that exist around the world. So and when we do a lot of research, as you know, Bernie, on
yes.
Coaching and the profession and where we're going as an industry, and I think that's really cutting edge and really defines us as the place to go for professional coaches.
You mentioned Converge 2021,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I attended that and was pleasantly surprised at
oh,
how
cool.
much information I got from that and the variety of people that, you know, were information givers, actually, and
mm-hmm.
there were also opportunities to network. Is there one plan for 2022?
Actually, it's going to be every other year now.
Okay.
So the next one, I've got my fingers crossed, but I'm going to say it, Orlando, Florida for next year in 2023. So hopefully everyone can make it down there. I want to say I'm not going to say exactly when it is. I think it's a little bit later in the year, but don't quote me on that. I do know it's going to be in Orlando in 2023, and it should be a lot of fun with a lot of great educational tracks for coaches. And one of the things we really get into here is this whole professional development area where coaches with credentials can earn continuing education units to renew their credentials.
That was going to be
next
question. Is there any chance that there's going to be a live conference? And you kind of instilled a little hope here, so thank you. Yay.
Yeah.
I think that was the first conference I ever went to was when I was president of the New York City chapter was Orlando. And,
I think 2009
wow.
or 10.
Yeah.
Right back then. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great place to have it. One of the things you mentioned, Dawn, was a community of practice, and I would say during COVID, when I didn't have much to do, I think I've already collected enough CCEUs for the next 3 years. I know I did, and it's fantastic. But one of the things is I don't see a lot of press about it, meaning sometimes I mention it to people, members, and they
yeah.
say, what's that? So I was wondering why maybe there should be more communications about that.
I agree 100%. And by the way, just because you brought that up, we have a little bit about the communities of practice. They are part of what we call our learning portal. So as an ICF member, you have access to go onto the learning portal at any time. And the 10 communities of practice are what I would call hidden gems out there, that they're run by at least two people from the coaching community who are experts, if you will, subject matter experts in that particular niche. And they have gathered some pretty large crowds at their offerings. I know they meet quarterly, and I'm just, from anything from coaching science community of practice to team coaching and team and group coaching community of practice, as well as, of course, the business. I don't want to misquote this. It's on here. Executive Leadership Coaching Community of Practice, which is probably one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, let me ask you, Don. It's like we know it's been a rough 2 years here. and as membership director, what have you done, or how did you keep the camaraderie going up? Because that was a beautiful part of the conference. You know, you got to meet people and you have to interact. And what did you have to do in order to keep that camaraderie going when nobody could even get together?
Yeah, I think, so switching back to the whole chapter experience, I think all the chapters went virtual in terms of their offerings. And we're all being done by Zoom, and that's how people met. And I think they had a lot of different offerings. Here at ICF, we got really much more aggressive in terms of offerings to members from around the world, and even to entice people who weren't yet members, you know, allowed them in for free, and really tried to promote in this really difficult time that coaching was not only a great profession but a real viable option for those who were dealing with people who were, you know, at home and had all this free time and didn't know what to do with themselves. And I can tell you that people were meeting around the clock, I mean, really, in terms of virtual offerings. And I will say one more thing about it. It was, you know, we had everything that's transpired, I think, in the last 2 years were real lessons, if you will, hard lessons that we really needed to be, you know, think on our feet, really be nimble and move quickly to really be able to listen to what members wanted and try to deliver on that promise to them.
Dawn, I was just wondering if there were chapters in Ukraine, actually, with what's going on there.
Yes, there is a Ukrainian chapter, and yes, we are. We're in the process of supporting them, and it's, again, a really difficult situation where, you know, we've taken a stand and completely supported them and basically called what's going on, you know, what it actually is, a hostile, you know, if you will, incursion by another country. And it's been difficult because I think a lot of them, you know, we just haven't been in touch with. It's my understanding that those who've made contacts with members, a lot of them are on the move, but a lot of them just, you know, they're operating off of cell phones and, you know, whenever they can get charges for their battery, you know, they're checking in with other people in the community. It's just a really, my heart goes out to them. It's a really difficult situation.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Has ICF, I did see their statement, has ICF mm-hmm. come up with any kind of way that their community can help, or are we just all, are they like us? We're just kind of waiting to see what, how bad
I think we're waiting and seeing, you know, where this is all going. And, of course, you know, hopeful that the resolution can come sooner rather than later and we can end this conflict. But, yeah, I think it's wait and see.
Yeah. Well, I was pleased to see that ICF had actually, this is what makes you kind of proud to be an ICF member, that they had actually made the statement. And I know during these last 2 years when all the crazies happened, they also made, an DEI statement, you know, on racism
yeah.
and all of that.
Absolutely.
Could you talk a little bit about that? Because isn't there a group devoted to that, or a group coming up that's devoted to that?
Yeah, I know there's a committee that is empowered to address DEIJ issues, and actually we've hired a DEIJ director. Her name is Lakeisha, and I'm going to forget her last name because she's brand new. Only been on the job a month or so, although she and I have spoken. Great lady. But, yeah, we're really taking a stand on that. And really, back to the chapters, trying to not educate the chapters, but to get them to really also, you know, take the approach that, hey, we really need to be inclusive here with everyone on a global basis. So I think that's really picking up a lot of momentum, and it's the right thing, no question about it. So looking for great things to come out of it.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you have having so many now chapters and credentialed people? What are some of the huge challenges that you face yourself?
Time management.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sleep at night. I'm kidding.
You need a coach,
kidding,
man.
Yeah. You know, I've got a great coach, and he's on me like, you wouldn't believe it when I tell him, you know, some of the times I schedule. It's really, if you will, a balancing act and making sure I can commit to as many high-level things as I can without losing this personal touch, because I think one of the things I'm certainly best at is connecting with other people and having conversations and trying to problem solve, and it's difficult. The larger we get, the less. All right, I don't want to say too much, but it's just harder to be able to speak to people on a one-to-one basis, and that's difficult, and I miss it.
Well, speaking of speaking, how many languages? I noticed when ICF sends out something now, it's like if you need translations, you can just click on a bunch of languages. How many languages? Are your programs and whatever you're doing, how many, is everything translatable? Or?
And so that's a great question. And it's, so technically it is, it can be translated. However, we try to really adopt, first and foremost, Google Translate, and I'm not pushing technology, but to say that we can go and have certain documents translated into some languages, that's possible, and we've done it. But it is an ongoing effort, especially when it comes to, dare I say, credentialing exams in other languages where there's all these nuances and such. It's a difficult proposition, and we really have to watch how we approach it because, it can be a challenge, and we don't want anyone to, you know, not be able to understand a question on an exam, for example.
Yeah. So it's been So it's been 15 years, Don. What's happening lately with credentialing? We briefly talked about it before we got on the call. What's going on?
Well, it's exploding in terms of the number of credential holders. And I know there's another credential coming, team coaching. Not quite sure when that launch date is going to be. But I think it's so we're going to change the examination process. The current examination process is called the Coach Knowledge Assessment, and we're going to move into what we call the credential exam. Same number of questions, probably same style of questions based on the core competencies, code ethics, and definition of coaching. But it's going to be online. It's either online and proctored or even in person. The vendor is Pearson View. Actually, they just got purchased just recently by another large learning platform, and I'm drawing a blank on the name. But the content's going to be the same, and I think the examination process, just one more step toward moving toward becoming, I'm not going to say ISO credential, but I just said ISO, standards, the standard setting body worldwide. It is one more step toward that. I can't comment because I'm not on the credentialing staff on where we are with that or what where we're going exactly with that, except to say this exam is coming in the next few months. I think it's going to be launched, so it should be a lot of fun. And we're trying to make the processes effortless as possible, where there's not people don't get stuck, if you will, going through an online process to apply for a credential, because I know still, with some of the credentials, there are some requirements and takes some time, and there's a lot of things that need to be uploaded. So, but I think overall, and Bernie, the credential is really the credentialing has really gone through a process of rigor, and I think it shows that you are definitely, you've mastered you definitely know all these competencies. You have this skill set, and it's defensible, and there's a lot of rigor behind it. And I'm excited about that, and I'm also excited about all the work that's been done, because I think it's really it's been a great process, and they have left no stone unturned in this process.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in ICF adapting and expanding and growing. Probably the thinking behind the credentialing is the same thing. I guess it's so easy they can reach more people in a more efficient manner. What was the thinking behind, I'm sure it was to, well, what was the thinking behind the new core competencies? And also, you guys changed your name. It used to be International Coach Federation. Now it's Coaching Federation. Well, I feel inclusivity in all of that. What was the thinking behind those changes?
Oh, that's a great question. So the first question about the name change, the Coaching Federation, is because we added a few new family organizations, if you will, and one is Coaching and Organizations, which is more of internal coaches and different organizations and companies that have an internal coach, not only an internal coaching program, but have adopted a coaching culture in this. And there's an actual membership for Coaching and Organizations, and I think their upside is unlimited, because I know more and more companies are going to take this approach going forward. And what was the second question? The first one you asked me. I apologize.
The core competencies, and they were doing fine. Why'd y'all change it?
So I think it was more, and I wasn't part of that group at all, but I think they just wanted to tweak some things, and I know that there are fewer competencies, but really not any major changes. How's that for being ambiguous? And
that's pretty good. They're also more user-friendly.
Yeah.
And they're more user-friendly and more positive. It's like they are more partnering with your client as opposed to, mm-hmm. Coach does this, client does this. It's more like a big partnership
right.
now. So, yeah, I think ICF just constantly adapts to whatever's going on out there and tries to make it better. So kudos
trying
to you
to.
Guys. Yeah.
Trying to.
Yeah.
One step at a time.
So in the last year or so, you launched the families, ICF
mm-hmm.
families. I'm sure there are challenges, but how's it been going?
During the pandemic,
we launched
families.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I say that tongue-in-cheek. I mean, it's been a process, and I think we're on the right road, and we're making progress with a lot of the family organizations. Obviously, coaching in organizations is growing. The foundation's always been there. Thought leadership, which I think is another one that has a huge upside, and I can't really speak that much to it other than to tell you they're working on a number of projects. And I think and now that we've moved, Bernie, from the old days where it was credentials and accreditation were under one department, that is split. And I think that's been a really good move to move accreditation as a separate. It's now rebranded as coaching education. And I think our goal there is to make whoever wants to look and possibly even choose an ICF accredited program. I think the new directory, and it hasn't been launched yet, is going to be a great place to start for that. And I think I know there's been some nomenclature changes with the old acronyms we used to use, and I'm not going to bore anyone with any of those acronyms by name right here, but to mm-hmm. say that we're going to call them level one, level two, and level three, I think that's going to be a lot more clarity to the process rather than trying to figure out, well, what acronym am I under? What am I under? I'm an ACC,
but
so the more clarity, the better.
Good.
Oh, I like that. And you can even add another level when you decide we can go further.
Sure.
Well, when we get together again in 15 years, what do you see as coaching needs? What changes do you think coaching might make? We've only got about 1 minute and 40 seconds.
How big coaching is
going to
be? We're going to take over the world. I mean, come
on.
I'm not going to name another large HR association based out of the U.S. With somewhat of a global footprint, but we'll be bigger than them. They're about 300,000 right now members and 100,000 plus certifications. I think the sky's the limit. I think that once coaching gets into the educational system, if you will, whether it's public schools or universities, I think it's only going to expand, and the limit is its future is limitless.
That's a bright and cheery future. Thank you. Okay, Don, if someone wants to become a member of ICF, or they want to call you with a problem, how does people get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can reach me at headquarters at Coaching Federation, one word, .org.
Okay. And we have had the pleasure of talking to Don Whittle, and we've got the history and we got the future. So we're doing okay. Don, I want to thank you for being on our show. You are such a longtime friend, and let's not make it so long when we catch up again. Bernie,
absolutely.
As always, a delight to be with you. And
we will
tell our audience that we'll be back next month. So take care, everybody. Enjoy St. Patrick's Day.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Don.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.